At least it's white out there.
For now. Welcome. We get to gather together and honor our Lord and bless each other and encourage each other in the Lord today. We'll be taking a special offering this morning for Pastor Mike and Martha Tift. Announced it last week and wanted to announce it again this morning. Want you to also be mindful of the announcement this week of the mine layoffs, and please be in prayer for your friends who are affected by this. You've lived up here long enough to have gone through these before, and I've always enjoyed talking to people who have gotten laid off. And the number one response I get, have gotten through the years, not the only response, but the number one response I've gotten is, oh good, because spring is coming and summer is coming and I get to have an extended vacation on workers' compensation or unemployment, whatever it's called. I've rarely talked to somebody who has really been bothered by it until it gets to the end of that period of time and they wonder if they're going to get an extension or be called back to work. Then I get concern, which has always been an interesting response for me. I've never been on unemployment compensation, so I don't know how it works. But we get to enjoy northern Minnesota, which is a beautiful thing, especially in summer. Winter's not a favorite of mine. This week, on Tuesday, we'll be assisting at Salvation Army. And next Sunday, we will have the service at Waterview Pines at 2 o'clock. I was watching Dr. David Jeremiah this morning before coming over here, and he was talking about the one characteristic of God that is unique, and that is His holiness. And how holy He is. And I couldn't help to think how blessed we are to have a God, the only God, holy God, who is loving and kind and merciful and generous and good. Could you imagine if the only God that existed was like Satan? Could you imagine how horrible that would be? And yet some people choose that, but I am really glad that our God is good. So good that He sent Jesus so that we could choose and be able to be with Him, our good God, and His Son Jesus forever. That is just incredible. We're going to begin our service this morning. If you'd like to stand on page number 788 or selection 788, which is Psalm 19. And my description in the bulletin is sort of there. What I tried to direct you to is go down to where it says response and then drop below that. We're not going to be singing the response, although Jeffrey sent me a note that if he was here today, he would do this whole thing with the musical responses in between. No, we're just going to read down toward the bottom of the page where it is Roman numeral 1, starting with the law of the Lord. So let's read that together responsively. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Amen and amen. And then we will begin with hymn number 34. Oop, forgot to plug it in. Not unto us, O Lord, holy God, only to Thee be the glory. Thy name alone is the theme of our song and our story. Thy name we praise. Great is Thy wonderful grace. Greatly we love and adore Thee. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our first reading today is Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17, and that is on page 430 of your pew Bible. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew on page 741 in your pew Bible. Verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. May God bless his word in our hearts.
Thank you, Mary. We'll be looking at that passage in Matthew chapter 6 this morning a little bit more deeply. So we take the offering this morning, and you want to give part of that offering. Gail has the basket for the offering for Mike and Martha Tift. If you want to make out a check, you can put in the notation that it is for Pastor Mike and Martha. And if you're giving in cash, if you just put that in the basket that Gail will be bringing with her, sort of like passing the coconut that we did before. So I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward at this time. Let's pray together. Father, we're just blessed to be your kids and to be able to look forward to all of your goodness and greatness and blessings and health and heaven. Looking forward to reuniting again with so many that have gone before us through the thousands of years, especially those that we have known and loved. You are such a great God. We give these gifts to you from our heart of love and gratefulness and joy. We pray for Pastor Mike and Martha that you continue to be with them, that you would continue to be healing Pastor Mike, and that this would be a blessing to them that we give for them this morning. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God, I got two jobs to do this morning. So shall we stand together and sing the doxology? I hope it'll reach that far. Nope. Thank you. You may be seated once again. And turn in your hymnals to number 30. No. Sorry, we have to pray first. Although I mentioned earlier some of my humorous conversations with folks who have been laid off, and there have been many who have responded like that, so it wasn't entirely without merit. But it's still a serious thing, and I want again to remind all of us to be in prayer for those who are being laid off. And I've kind of thought, what should we pray for? Well, of course, we should pray for them and their families. The lives have changed sort of since the 70s when those massive layoffs took place on the Iron Range. And I read an article that during the 70s and early 80s, we lost 30,000 people from the Iron Range who had to relocate because the layoffs were that bad. So I thought, well, we should pray for the production to recover that requires steel, because steel is sort of the lifeblood of the range, the taconite industry. We should pray for the companies to have wisdom in making wise decisions in this earth. Wise decisions concerning this earthly stuff we live with, because I don't think steel production has much to do with God's heavenly kingdom. Actually, I don't think we're going to be building cars in heaven, just my opinion. And of course, we should be praying for the families and ministering to them and encouraging them through these times, especially for those who are having anxiety and fear, and especially those who at this point or in the near future are wondering if they should stay here or if they should relocate. As we pray together this morning, again, I want us to focus on this great God we have and the abundance of blessings and compassion that he has. He really does care for people. So let's pray together. Once again, Father, we come before you. We bow before you to acknowledge your holiness, to acknowledge that you are worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory. We come to you with grateful hearts because you have provided for us your Son's sacrifice, that we might choose to be children of God. Through his holy name and through his holy sacrifice of his body and blood for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved your Father so much that you chose to be obedient to him to provide for us a way of salvation. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, it is at this point impossible for us to understand the extent of your compassion, the extent of your goodness. But we believe your word that you are holy and good and compassionate and kind, even to evil and unbelieving men on this planet. We are here today to acknowledge that we choose you as our God. We choose you as our life. We choose you as our truth. We choose you as our way of life. We ask for all of our brothers and sisters who are being affected by this layoff announcement. But there are others too, Father. Of our brothers and sisters who are being affected in their lives by illness, low income, bills, expenses that they have not been expecting, that they cannot meet with the income that they have. Those who are poor and needy in our communities, you are a merciful God, and your word tells us that you care about the poor, and you care about the hungry, and you care about those who are experiencing fear and anxiety. We join you in your compassion and pray that you would reach out to the people that you see in need, because you see and know more than we do. Reach out to them with your compassion and love, wisdom, grace, provision, health, healing, encouragement. And this morning, Father, like the prophet Isaiah, we would say we are here so that if we can help in any way to minister to those you know who need your touch, your hand, your word of encouragement, we are here and willing. And so if we encounter those situations, we would ask that in your grace and mercy, you would alert us to the need and alert our hearts to the willingness that we read in your word earlier this morning to help, to give, to pray, to bless others. In the name of Jesus. We pray for your work all across the Iron Range, that you'd continue to build it up strong so that your name would be glorified and that your power would be evident in the lives of people, including us, because we need you. Once again, Father, we give you the glory, thanks, honor, and admiration because of who you are. And we are just so glad that you, our great and mighty God, you are good and full of love and mercy and compassion and grace, as well as righteousness and truth. We honor you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Hymn number 38. He is worthy of worship. Jeffrey did the programming for the background, and I just love how he does that, and it changes, and it just adds meaning to that beautiful hymn of worship. He is a blessing when it comes to music, that's for sure. This morning we're going to look a little bit at Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to pray before we begin. Father, this is your word. Send your word forth to accomplish what you send it to do in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank you. Through Jesus, amen. I like to watch detective shows. Having a little trouble with my hearing aids this morning as well. I like to watch detective shows, not because of how they start and end, but I like to know how they figure it out. And of course, that includes motive, means, and opportunity. Opportunity, the event that happened. The means, how did it happen? The motive, why did it happen? And of course, I especially like those that have partly or mostly are involved with forensics. How do they figure that out scientifically? So I was reading an article this last week, and the article said, what you see on the TV about forensics just isn't the way that it really is. And my first thought was, oh, really? Duh, you're telling me that television shows aren't really the way life is? Took you that to figure that out? Of course it's not like that. It doesn't happen in an hour. And yes, DNA doesn't always solve the crime. Yeah, I get all that. But I still like that. The mysterious part of those three, motive, means, and opportunity, is motive. Because we can find the means, we can identify the opportunity. The motive is in here. And so what they search for motive, is identifying the behaviors and the events that might indicate motive. But none of us here can really see the heart. None of us here can really, truly see the motive. And that does get us into trouble sometimes, doesn't it? When we guess at what another person's motive is. They don't like me. How do you know? Well, they did this. Okay, they did that. How does that link to jumping to that conclusion that they don't like me or that they offended me or whatever the case may be? So while I was looking at this, I was all week just asking the Lord, what kind of an example can I give to help us to understand motive? And at the last minute, God gave me some humor. Not jokes, just a humorous look at life. All of you remember kids say the darndest things? And then he got me to thinking about why do they say those things? Well, kids speak out from what's in them, as funny as it might be, or as honest as it might be, and we chuckle at them, and sometimes we say, no, you can't say that. But then you notice what happens to kids, and it doesn't take very long. They start to change. And then all of a sudden, they're asking mommy for candy because they know mommy will give candy or cookie or whatever the case may be. Very quickly, they learn what our soft spots are, and very quickly, they learn what are not our soft spots. And so they avoid some things and begin to learn how to, here's the key word, manipulate us. Parents, is that true? You remember back to your kids how they learned how to work around us and find and get just what they wanted? And so, thinking through this, it kind of answered a question for me. When Jesus took the little children and said, "Let them come to me, of such are the kingdom of God." And I was thinking about teenagers, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's true. And then I was thinking back to my kids when they were in elementary school, and I'm saying, I'm not sure that's true, that the kingdom of God is like this, because they know how to ask me for money and get it, or they know how to sneak around and do something that they don't want me to see or find out about. But then I went a little bit earlier and I thought, you know, if you get down to those really young kids, then there's truth in what Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of God. Why? Because their hearts are what they do, good or bad. That's what Jesus is talking about today when he's teaching his disciples. It's not what we do as much as why we do it. What's in here? What's in Mike's heart? I want to demystify some of this that we look at this morning. The first thing to know is that no matter what you do, no matter what the motive is, you get a reward. You get a cookie of some kind. The difference is, do we get the reward here or do we get the reward there? We still get a reward in every single case. The other thing that I recalled as I was looking at this passage is God sees the heart. Sees what we can't see in other people. God sees the heart. So he sees our heart. So what Jesus is telling us in this passage is what you do is important. Giving to the needy is important. Praying is important. Fasting is important, although I don't think we read that particular part of Matthew 6, but it's in there. And storing things up is important. All of those are important. But what makes it important for whatever reward we're going to get is the reason we are doing it. And so in verses 2 through 4, he gives us his first example. Giving to the needy. And we had an opportunity this morning to do that. You'll probably have some opportunities during this week certainly helping out at Salvation Army is giving to the needy time, effort, energy. And so what Jesus said is, give to the needy, but don't be like the Pharisees who announce themselves, who lift up their hand and drop their money. Back then, that was kind of the style for the Pharisees, just making a big production of it. Don't be like them, not because it's not good to give to the poor, but don't be like them because they have their reward in the attention that they're getting. They have all their reward. And so Jesus is telling us to give to the poor. Pharisees, it was a good thing that they did to give to the poor. The only thing that changes is that's their reward. That's it. And so he gives us some examples about how to give, how to pray, how to fast, how to store up things, and obtain the reward in heaven. And it's all right here. Now, through the years, I've tried to work with this principle that Jesus gives to us in this passage and tried to figure it out. And the trick for me that I have found is whenever I decide to do something, I need to ask the question, why, Mike, do you want to do that? And I get that answer. And then I ask the next question, why, Mike, is that important? And I get that answer. And then I ask the next question, well, why is that important to you? What is it really in here that is so important that you need to do that? I gave that illustration a couple of weeks ago of stopping at a stop sign and doing a full stop and the car behind me not being very happy about that, and then racing around me and their window went down and they gave me a signal with their arm and hand outside the window. And I asked myself, why? Obeying law is important. Stopping at a stop sign is important. Why? If they were in a hurry, I could understand that. But why the hand signal? And of course, I can't come up with the answer because I don't know why they did that. And so that's the process I take with me. Why? 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 Until I get down to an answer that is so deep within me that is either good or evil. Sometimes I'm not happy about the answer that I get down deep inside of me. But it gets me to my inner motive. One of the things that has been curious for me in this passage is when Jesus talks about giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And to be honest with you, I don't quite understand that. So I went to many books in the library, and my conclusion is apparently nobody understands that. Why did he say left hand and right hand? Why is that important not to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? Through the years, my rough translation is, don't make a big announcement so somebody else knows what you're doing. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Okay. And I guess I can handle that. Tipping. Why do we tip in a restaurant or not tip? I'm in agreement with some pastors who say Christians should be the most generous tippers there are. Why? Because the person knows that you're a Christian? No, not necessarily. In here, I have a special motive for tipping, and that is my daughter worked as a waitress. And I found out from her what life was like. And I found out that tips, she got more in tips than she got in wages. And it made life livable for her as a single gal. Jesus goes on to talk about praying. In one translation, it says, don't be like the hypocrites babbling. I kind of like that word. Because sometimes, don't you think that's what it is? It's just babbling words, 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 and sounding very important. You know, those big $20 words or the $30 words or the $50 words. I listen to some of the news, and very frequently I am Googling the word that was spoken. What does that mean? I don't know what that word means. Why not just use a word that I understand? Well, Jesus says sometimes they do this just to be noticed, just to be seen, just to be recognized, and they have their reward in full. They are recognized. And Jesus said, I'd rather that you go in your private room by yourself, pray, and let your Father who sees in secret reward you. And it even says in one translation, reward you openly. But your reward is still in heaven. So the summary of this passage in Matthew chapter 6 that Mary read for us is really pretty simple. Where do I want my reward? If I want my reward in heaven, I've got to dig deep and find out really what's down here. Is what's down here that very first impulse that the three-year-old child has? I don't like you. That is sometimes that first impulse, isn't it? And then changing that down deep in our hearts. I don't like what you did, but I love you. Where do we want to store up our treasures? The passage in Psalm 51 that Mary also read for us also connects with this. Three times in this passage, David talks about his heart. And if you remember, the Word of God says that David was a man after God's own heart. And part of that is because David dug deep down in his heart to find out what was really there. And in verse 6 he says, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. So again, what we do is important. Don't let that slide by. Giving to the poor is important. But if you want your reward in heaven, then you got to deal with what's in here and why. Amen. you turn in your hymnals to hymn number 408, a good hymn to conclude with, a request to God our Father for His guidance in these matters. You know, it's kind of fun to have Jeffrey with us even when he isn't with us. He just does such cool stuff with that music thing. If you'd stand, let's bless each other in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. Gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you, give.